Well, today we're gonna have a discussion class, so we're gonna just talk, and whatever the Lord's been dealing with you about, we'll discuss it. You know, not necessarily a teaching session, but the Holy Spirit's the teacher, so I'm sure we'll all learn something before it's over with. Praise God. Clyde, you lead us in prayer this morning, would you?
Precious Lord, we thank you for your presence here, Lord, this morning. Yes, because Lord, we're excited that where we are, you're also there. Mm-hmm. And it's the other way, too. Wherever you're at, that's where we're at. Mm-hmm. And have us, Lord, just grab hold of your word and refuse to let go. This morning, we just bring everyone that, Lord, that's normally in this class. Holy Spirit, have your way among all. Yes. Just move where they move healing or whatever they need, Lord. Have your way, have your way, have your way. We turn around and give all our ambitions to you, that, Lord, we encourage one another in the Holy Spirit and in the Word of God, that, Lord, you come forth. Yes. Come forth and be glorified in the mighty name of Jesus.
Yes,
Father, just have your way in this class, Lord. May you be honored. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now I'm going to tell you all guys a little bit of something that happened here with me lately. I told you all one time about that friend of mine that I grew up with, and I hadn't seen him for, well, over 50 years, you know. And he called me a while back, and, you know, he had me pray with him, and, you know, he said he was going to give his life to the Lord, and he said he'd like to be baptized sometime, you know. Well, you know, he never did really show up to be baptized, you know. And anyway, I just got a call from him, and I tried to contact him a couple of times just to see how he was doing. I never could get him. And he called me the other day, and he always kids because he always says this is Spidey, because when we were kids in about the, which I don't know if I see him tell us, we were kids in about the fifth grade or something like that, we had a gang, you know, kind of a gang. And you know, we got these coats, and I can draw pretty good, you know, so I painted a spider on the back of them, and called, you know, it was going to be called the Spiders, you know what I mean. And I did all of them, and on his, I misspelled spider, and it was Spidey. So whenever he calls me, he says, this is Spidey.
So he goes along with it.
Yeah, he always laughs. This is Spidey. This is Spidey. And I, you know, but anyway, but he told me the other day, you know, when he called me, he says, you know, he says, you went one way and I went the other. And I said, yeah, I said, you know. And that's true. And apparently he got into a lot of different things, you know, and, you know, pretty rough life, you know. But he was telling me some of the different things that he got into, which, you know, wasn't real good stuff to be getting into, you know. But anyway, he said, you know, he said, I know Jesus has forgiven me. And I said, yes, he has. I said, when you give your life to the Lord, I said, it's all been forgiven anyway. You know, he did on Calvary, basically. And the funny thing is that we were talking, he's in the nursing home right now, and they're trying to get him where he can walk. He can't walk, you know. He's pretty bad shape. And he can't walk, and they're trying to get him back where he can walk. And he called me the first night, and I talked to him, and I prayed with him. And then he called me again the next day, and he said, man, my back got better. I could do better on my therapy and everything. And I said, well, that's great, you know. And then he said, you know, he said, I've try to read the Bible, he said, but, you know, I can't make out the words. It's too small, you know. He said, I need a large print Bible. And I said, well, we'll be praying about that. And I told him, I said, can I come up and visit you? He's way up close to Williamsburg up there, you know, pretty far up. Mm-hmm. And I told him, I said, can I come up and visit you? And he said, no, they won't let anybody come in and visit. And I was thinking about trying to get him a Bible, you know. Well, he called me yesterday, and he said, somebody brought me a large print Bible. And he says, and it's one of them with leather bound, and it costs $54. I said, he said, I just wondered if it was you. I said, no, it wasn't me. I said, but the Lord knew you needed it because you asked for it. And I said, guess what? I said, he supplied it, you know. And, you know, but anyway, it's kind of neat how God does stuff sometimes to even reinforce, especially a lot of times, you know, I know all of you can probably testify to something when you were a real young Christian, how the Lord would meet you miraculously in something. You know, sometimes I know I would come to those men's prayer meetings, and I'd be looking at the scriptures or something, and I'd be reading where it said, seek and shall find, ask and shall be, you know, knock and shall be open unto you, and all this and that. I'd be reading that portion of scripture. We'd get in there, and one of the brothers would come over to me and say, thus saith the Lord, keep on seeking, keep on knocking, keep on adding, you know, right down the line of whatever I was praying, you know. And it's just neat how that God, you know, he supplies what you need at the moment that you need it. And, you know, he still says he wants to come when he can get out of there and get where he can get move around. He wants to come down here sometime and have me baptize him, which, you know, anybody could baptize him. But he said he wants me to do it. And I said, well, I said, you know, you let me know before you're going to come down, and we'll try to, you know, work out something where we can baptize you, you know. But it's something when you think about sometimes, you know, all of the different facets of our life that we go through, how that, like that song we sing, he's an on-time God. It seems like God always is there. May not come when you want him, but he'll be there right on time, right when you really need him to be there. He's always there, you know. And I was just thinking about with him, you know, what what a testimony that was, that he said he wanted a large print Bible, you know, so he could read it. And, you know, here's somebody brought him a large print Bible. Yeah, you know?
Beautiful.
Yeah, you know. But it's neat how God does stuff, you know. But, you know, I kind of feel for him because I know he got into drugs and stuff real bad years ago. I never did get into that stuff. Thank God for that, you know. But a lot of the guys I knew did, and a lot of them, you know, were rough boys, some of them. They got into a lot of trouble and different things. I never did go that route, you know. And I thank God that he kept me from that, you know. He kept me out of that, because I could have been right there along with them. But I was never much of a follower. I always did my own thing, you know what I mean. I didn't necessarily follow other guys that much. And
can I say something?
Yeah.
I actually, he went one way, you went the other.
Uh-huh.
You had a praying mother.
Mm-hmm.
She believed the word of God.
Right.
Raise your child in the way they shall go, and when they are old, they shall not depart.
Mm-hmm.
You were a fulfillment of God's word.
Right.
In this life, whether anybody else knows or not, we all are.
Sure, mm-hmm. Sure,
the,
sure.
The whole thing is that when you were saying, you know how I am, I'm a word person. When mm-hmm. you were saying you could have done this, you for all that, you might have done this.
Mm-hmm.
And I got like this, you know, God, I'm feeling God wants me to tell you, from the foundation of the earth,
you
were set that we would never walk that walk.
Yeah.
You were set in a walk that was established by God,
mm-hmm.
believed in by your mother, and honored by God because he honors his word above his name.
Yeah.
I mean, we're not special, but yet God, in God's eyes, we're accepted.
Yeah.
We're acceptable in God's eyes, in the beloved.
Yeah.
And if we look to the beloved, we'll always be accepted.
Yeah.
I mean, and you know what? That's how we learn to accept other people.
Yeah.
We look at them as the beloved, you know. What did God do for us that... Well, like Jim Pike used to say, he did it for me, he'll do it for you.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I could hear him saying it too, you know.
Well, but what we don't realize at times is that some of the things that people go through in their life is a necessity to get them to where God can really deal with them. You know what I mean? And a lot of times we just, you know, you'll know somebody and they seem like they went down the wrong path, and you'll say, well, why in the world did that happen? Well, maybe it was necessary for them to go down that path for the Lord to really get a hold of their life, you know. I mean, you know, that story that I've told different times about the guy that was the rapist, you know, and the woman was in the car with him, and the Lord told her, you know, don't act like you're afraid of him, you know. I mean, that's hard to do when somebody's, got you in a car and they're trying to take you off somewhere and, you know, abuse you and probably kill you, because he was killing the people too. He wasn't just abusing them. And, you know, she started witnessing to him about Jesus Christ. And, finally he said to her, what do you think I should do? And she says, I think you should just pull over and let me go and go home. That's what she told him. And you know what? He did it. And then later on, when he got caught and was on death row, he wanted her to come up there, and the warden says, I normally don't let people come and see, you know, talk to these people who were, you know, victims of them or mm-hmm. potential victims of them. And he said, but this guy's had a huge impact on the guards and everybody up here, you know. And, you know, he said, you know, I'd like for you to come up. And she said, my first inclination was to say, no way, you know. She said, but then she felt like the Lord said, I want you to go. And she said she went up there. And basically, when she went up there, she said that he told her, I'm going to tell you something that I never told anybody else. And he said, right before I picked you up, a voice spoke to me and said, I'm going to speak to you one more time, and you better listen. And he said, when you started talking to me, I knew I better listen.
God had talked to him.
That's right.
That had to be God.
Right. Mm-hmm. And see, that's like, you know, I've told that story about Roy Ralph before. When Roy Ralph one time was here, and he said he read a scripture out of the book of Acts about Menahem, you know, this guy named Menahem, that he lived in Herod's court, you know, and he said, check into that, Oscar. I don't think I was even an elder. I might have been an elder, but I wasn't on the platform or anything like that. And for some reason, he told me to check into it. And I'm sitting there thinking, well, you run a Bible school, you know. And I'm sitting there thinking, now, if you don't know nothing, I'm definitely not going to know nothing, you know. Because, you know, and I went home, and Margaret's mother, Minnie, was living with us then, and I was down in the basement because I had like a family room down there too. And I was down in the basement, and I was sitting there, and I felt like the Lord said, check into it. And I got up and I went in my office in there, and I've got a pretty good, pretty substantial library, you know. And I went in there, and a lot of times I buy books and things, and I don't even know why I buy them. I just feel like I'm supposed to buy them. And sometimes I don't even look at them until sometime when I feel like the Lord directs me to look at them. And then when I do, he always shows me something. Well, I got out a encyclopedic-type dictionary of, you know, biblical things. And I started looking up that name. And when I looked up that name, it referred me to the book of Josephus. Well, I had bought a book of Josephus years ago, but I never had cracked it. I never had even looked at it. I just had it on the shelf. So it told the section and all that of Josephus. And Josephus was a chronicler of the Jewish history. And he wasn't, I don't believe he was a Christian when he wrote that. He did it, I think, for the Roman Empire. And, you know, he was a Jew. But anyway, so went to that section, and I looked at that section, and it told the story of Herod, the first Herod. Mm-hmm. And there was quite a few kings named Herod. And basically what it said that this man named Menahem was walking down the road one time, and that this young boy walked past him. Young boy, wasn't even a man, it was a boy. And he said, and Menahem slapped him on the backside and said, oh, hail, King of the Jews. And the boy looked at him and says, I'm just a normal person just like you. He said, oh, but you won't be. And this was just, Menahem was a prophet. Mm-hmm. He said, oh, but you won't be. He said, but when you become king, he said, see that you do justly and righteously and stuff. He said, but I know that you won't. So God talks to them. And a lot of times people that you think God's never spoke to them or never talked to them, God talks to them.
Yes.
And then later on, when years later, when he was made patriarch of, you know, of Israel or whatever, and this was Herod the Great that built, you know, built the temple and all that stuff, rebuilt the temple and all that stuff. And, you know, he built it even bigger than what it originally was, you know, but it still didn't have the glory that the first one had, you know. And this was the temple when Jesus came that was there, you know. And it, but anyway, he went back to Mahim and asked him, how long would his reign be? And Mahim gave him some more prophetic word, a little bit more prophetic word, but wouldn't tell him how long. And then, you know, that to me showed me how that person in Mahim was living in Herod's court. You know, when Paul wrote the book, when they wrote the book of Acts, you know, because it had to do with Paul a little bit too.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, so a lot of times you think, well, does God ever speak to some of these people? I believe he does. I believe a lot of times they don't listen, you know. And like we know, Herod killed all of the babies that were that certain age that's trying to kill Jesus, basically what he was trying to do when Jesus was a little baby. But, you know, so many times we have a tendency that we don't realize. I will repeat what I've said about Clarice Fuller when she said, God will let you believe what you need to believe to get you to where he wants you to be. Not necessarily what you're believing is the truth, but he'll let you believe something that even isn't the truth or the fullness of the truth. But it's all about positioning you where he wants you to be. And once he gets you where he wants you to be, then he can really deal with you. And going back to Randy, I think that's probably what all the things that he went through. And boy, if he told you all the stories, he's got some pretty wild stories. But anyway, you know, I believe that God got him right where he wanted, and he got a hold of him now. Mm-hmm. And I mean, he's not in real good physical condition or anything, but you know,
is Herod, is Herod the one that came out? Who was it? Was it him, or was and the way he was arrayed? That they gave glory, mm-hmm. and he took the glory.
He took the glory.
And he was eating the worm right
there.
God struck
him.
Well,
see, there was more than one Herod. You know, there was like about three of them or
so. But he's the one that Manahim prophesied to.
I think so. Yeah. I think so. But, you know, it's kind of interesting when you realize that here's Josephus telling the story about Herod, you know. And if some of the things in that book of Josephus, which I've read some of it, you know, he tells the history and a lot of the things that happened. I mean, literally, when Jerusalem was overtaken and stuff, I mean, just tens of thousands of people were killed and all this kind of stuff. So a lot of the things that were prophesied actually came to pass, you know, in the natural, you know what I mean? But, you know, it's kind of funny how God will do stuff like that. You know what I mean? But
who was it that the wife came to try to warn him not to?
I think that
said he washed his hands of.
I think that might have been Herod. I think that might have been Herod.
He said, "I washed my." You know, he washed his hands.
I don't remember for sure. Yeah, I know what you're talking. I know what you're saying, but I don't remember who it was.
It was Pilate.
It was Pilate's wife that
came.
You're right. It was Pilate.
She knew he was.
She basically told him, and I'm kind of paraphrasing this, that he was a just man, you know, not to do this, you know.
Did she dream that? Or?
I'm not sure exactly.
Anyway, God revealed it to her.
She knew that if he was going to continue with the way the people wanted it to go, with Christ,
Well, see,
it was all going to come back on him. And she said, brush your hands of it.
He really didn't do it. Pilate really didn't do it because he kind of turned him over to the Jews.
Yeah.
Right.
And they told him, well, if you don't do this, then you're not a friend of Caesar's and all this kind of. And they really gave him
and
a hard time.
And also, remember, they could choose a person.
Yeah.
Barabbas.
Wash
your hands of it, because if you go ahead, you're going to be the one who takes all the responsibility.
Right, right.
See, and that was the Jews' way of trying to bust the control over to him.
Well, see, they weren't supposed to ever kill anybody like
that's
that,
right.
And they did it, you know. Mm-hmm. But it's you know, when you think about some of the things that even have happened in your own life. And you think of how you could have been in a situation and God kept you out of those situations. I mean, you know, it's amazing how God's had his hand on you from the time you were a baby, really, when you go right down the line. I mean, you know.
You know, his brother Bobby, he's been to visit us in California, and plus he calls every week. We talk to him.
Yeah.
And there was a young man that was drowned at this Muzzy's lake in Urbana.
Well, it was actually what Muzzy's lake was a gravel pit.
Yeah, like a reservoir.
It was real deep.
Oh yeah, those
the water was blue.
And they had like the front lake, the middle lake, and then the back lake was where they were still digging up the gravel.
Mm-hmm.
So it was like my younger brother used to work over there, and then he used to go out fishing over there. And he was talking about they took a plane and went over Muzzy's Lake and took a picture of the water,
uh-huh.
And they saw this big dark hole.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
And I assumed that they had some instruments that measured the depth of it.
Yeah.
They couldn't you know get down far enough.
Mm-hmm.
And I let her finish the story when I was telling you about how the lake came about.
But he had different times, really visions and things that God had spoken to him,
right.
Or forewarned him.
Yeah.
And these kids, they were teenagers, but they were all going to go out there to swim, because in Urbana at that time, there wasn't anywhere where black, you know, the children could go swim. And when they came and asked him to go, he was going to go, but he said, I don't know whether I dreamt it or how it came to me, but he saw this drowning, and that he tried to help the person that was drowning, and he was pulled in also.
Wow.
And so he wouldn't go.
Yeah.
And sure enough, the boy drowned. This one boy drowned, you know, out there. They're related to my granddaughter's family. And or on her mother's side, and drowned in that deep water. And when they did, one of the boys ran for help, and they didn't get him right away. And when they did get him, it was how much feet of water?
They found him in 80 feet of water, and he was tangled up in the growth, undergrowth there.
Yeah.
Yep.
Like that, like any gravel pit, the deeper you go, the water starts getting cold, and it gets real like a aqua blue sometimes, you know.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
But that was not the only incident. Like my brother said, he saw himself, like I guess they just was getting out of school and everybody was talking about joining the service and stuff like that.
Uh-huh.
And he said he saw himself getting shot in the chest and dying in the Army.
Yeah.
So he took the test and went in the Air Force.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But he would be walking, like he would be going like a and in the evening, going out to a skating rink, and he'd be walking, down the street from our house,
mm-hmm.
and he would all of a sudden turn around and come back and take off his clothes and stay there at home. You see, he saw himself getting in trouble. So. But he didn't talk too much about that.
Yeah.
Then, but he shared with us since.
Well, you know, I will say this. The scripture says that the gifts and the callings of God are without repentance. And there are people who are gifted in that kind of thing,
mm-hmm.
and sometimes they really commit their lives to the Lord, and the Lord uses it, and sometimes they don't, you know. And,
The thing about God giving you a spiritual gift in the sense that you can even, you know, my mother, she was very sensitive, I mean, you know, spiritually. And when I went, you know, after I got about 10 or 11 years old, Mother didn't go to church a lot, you know, because for one thing, she didn't drive for a long time. And then, you know, she used to go to church with Uncle Wiley sometimes. They would go to different revivals and things like that. But she didn't go to church a lot, you know. But she was very sensitive spiritually. I mean, like I've told you all before, when me and Margaret, when we were, you know, real young and just married, we lived about 2 miles down the street from her, you know. And, you know, we'd be fussing or something, you know. And we would be liable to get a phone call. And she'd say, "I was in praying. God brought you two before me. What's going on down there?" You know, she, "No, nothing, Mother. Everything's fine," you know, or something like that.
If it wasn't, and she, it's going to be after that.
Funny thing is what Clyde said, you know, before. He said, "Well, you know, you had a praying mother." After God healed me from the epilepsy, Mother used to always tell me, she'd say, "Son, don't get too entangled in the world. God's going to require some things of you someday." And I used to just absolutely hate when she'd say that. I think, I don't want to hear that, you know. But you know what? She was right. I mean, you know, she was right. And then when, the funny thing is I've shared this testimony before too, when the Lord really started dealing with me, you know, I was driving her to work every day because we both worked at the same place. And I was coming, driving her to work. And she was very sensitive spiritually, but God hid it from her when he was dealing with me, you know. Mm-hmm. And I finally, I mean, I was so miserable, I didn't care if I lived or died before I gave my life to the Lord. I mean, that's how miserable I got. And but I had had visitations of the Lord earlier in my life before that. But when I finally gave up and gave my life to the Lord, I was up for house, because we used to go for Sunday dinner all the time. She'd always have everybody up for Sunday dinner years ago. And I was up there, and I was sitting in the living room with her, and she was sitting on the couch, and she said, "What's going on with you? Something's going on with you." And I told her, I said, "Well, I gave my life to the Lord." She said, "God hid that from me." She said, "He didn't let me pick up on that." And she said, "I believe he did so I'd keep my hands off of it." And I said, "Well, you're probably right." And she said, "I'm going to give you one piece of advice." She says, "Learn to know God for yourself. Nobody else can know him for you."
Yeah, that's the truth. That's good.
You know, yeah, I'm sitting over here thinking, I remember you saying something. Well, doesn't matter where it was. But anyway, you said something. And one of the people in the church called you and said, "Now, was that for me?"
Oh, yeah.
And I'm sitting here. Holy Spirit revealed stuff to you.
Yeah.
I'm sitting here thinking, well, first of all, was that for me? I don't know, was it? That's my thought. That's my thoughts are. Was it? Because, see, God's word don't return void. Yes. And if it's peeking at the person's heart, or it might be mine, who knows?
Yeah.
That's why we need the conviction of the Holy Spirit. You won't have to question if it's speaking to you. You'll go,
Well, there's a witness.
It's directly right there. It's like target. Boom, target.
You know.
It's home.
Well, see, that particular thing he's talking about, I spoke on a Sunday night with Brother Eddie. I don't even think Brother Eddie was there that night. He might have been sick or something, or was he might have been in the hospital or something many, many years ago. And this sister was one of the wives of one of the old elders, you know. And I just shared what God gave me, you know. And it wasn't directed at anybody, you know, in that sense. You know, it was just what God gave me. And I got a phone call when I got home. And the person said to me, "Was you talking about me?" You know. And I said, "Well, no, not specifically." I said, "But," I believe I told her, I said, "but if it applied to you, then, you know."
Yeah.
It did.
Guess
I mean,
it was.
I wasn't talking about you in general, you know. But this person was very touchy-feely. You know, very touchy-feely.
That's right.
And if I had have been talking about her and had, which I wasn't, but if I was, you know, and had told her that, oh my God,
it'd have been the same.
It would have been,
yeah,
World War III around the church, you know, that kind of thing. But the neat thing about that is that God knows what the word he sends forth is, where it's going to go,
right,
what it's going to accomplish. We don't always know. I mean, there's times when we know, and there's times when we sense that we're supposed to give somebody a word, or we're supposed to do this or do that. But, you know, it's one of those situations to where, you know, you just need to be obedient and do what God tells you to do when he tells you to do it. And I had one person tell me one time, I'd given somebody a prophetic word, and, you know, and I knew God had told me to give this person this prophetic word. Well, I had somebody else come to me and tell me that that person's father said that when you give somebody a prophetic word, that you should go check on them and make sure they're doing the right thing and doing all. And I told that person that told me that, and the person that told me that was an elder too, mm-hmm, and that this person had told them. And I said, well, I said, I'm going to tell you what my responsibility is when God gives me a word for somebody. I said, it's to give them that word, not try to interpret it, give them that word, and then leave them alone and let God do whatever he's going to do with
it.
That's my responsibility. And that's the only responsibility I have in that, unless God tells me to do something. I said, if God had told me to go to those people's houses or whatever, I said, I would have went. I said, but he didn't. He just told me to give him that word. And, you know, this particular person used to contact me every so often. He was always trying to come against Brother Eddie, the person that gave this other person the word. He was always trying to down Brother Eddie and stuff, you know, mm-hmm, really bad. And, you know, I would totally turn him off, and I kept asking the Lord, Lord, let me straighten him up. And you know, God would say, leave him alone. And I thought, oh, and he sent me letters. I used to get letters from this guy and everything else, you know. And one time he told me, he says, I was prophesied, and this is what he said to me. He said, I was prophesied by some of the biggie prophets, you know, that I was a prophet of the Lord and all this and that. And I'm standing there and I'm thinking, there is no such thing as a biggie prophet. What is that? I mean, there's no biggie prophets.
Any word you give is coming from God.
It's come from God. It's a little you and a big God if he's giving you a word. That's what it is.
He was trying to explain to everybody where his
authority
came from.
He was trying to tell you how big he was, is what he was trying to tell me. But, you know, I kept asking God, please let me respond to him. And he wouldn't do it. He wouldn't let me. You know, I just would stand and let him talk, and then I'd walk away, you know.
We have a responsibility. I remember the first time I ever, God gave me a word to give, and it was an evangelist that came to Urbana for a tent meeting, and I felt like, who am I to give a word, you know, to him, and I was holding back. And he looked at me and asked, sister, what is it that God has? And I hardly wanted to say anything. He said, I'm going to tell you this. Picture me standing at the edge of a cliff, mm-hmm, and that you're, you know, at facing, going to go toward, and you're in between me and the cliff. And you got your hands up. Uh-huh. And God wants you to give this to me to keep me. And after that, well, I gave him the word. Yeah. And after that, I didn't have a problem with giving, because I would picture we'd be in a group or in a meeting or something.
Yeah.
And sometimes you're fearful to speak for it. You don't have to interpret.
Right.
But to give, and you don't know what all God is going to do with this person, what he has been preparing this person for. But after that, I didn't have it, because I would picture that and I wouldn't hold back, and I feel like, well, if it's not of God, it won't come, you know, come to pass. But you have to be obedient,
yes,
what the Spirit is giving you, because it's for them.
Right. And you know, years ago when the when the Lord first started giving me prophetic words for people and stuff, I had a little bit of struggle with it because I was pretty young Christian and I didn't really know exactly how it functioned, you know what I mean? And I remember, you know, I'm sitting in church one time and I wasn't even an elder at that point. I'm just sitting in church and I felt like the Lord gave me a word. I know what it was. Yeah, there was a person gave a message in tongues. And I felt like the Lord gave me the interpretation of that message. And I kind of held back. And then I said to the Lord, I said, well, Lord, if this was really you, give it to somebody else. And he did. And then I walked out of church feeling like I was dragging my whole body out of the church. I was lower than a snake's belly because I felt so bad because I hadn't been obedient to the Lord. But I didn't totally understand then. And a couple times I would feel like the Lord was giving me a word and I would say, well, go ahead, Lord, you know. And then I didn't know the scripture yet that said the spirit of a prophet is subject to the prophet. Well, and when I read that and God gave me the understanding of that, in other words, I'll give you the word, but I'm not going to make you speak it.
That's right.
You have to speak it. The spirit of the spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, you have to yield to it. And once I come to understand that, it made it easier for me to give somebody a word or to pray for somebody when I felt like I was supposed to. I had a situation one time where the Lord wanted me to pray for this. I felt like the Lord wanted, and I was a real young Christian. I felt like the Lord wanted me to pray for this person. And I thought, well, it was a pretty hopeless looking situation he wanted me to pray for. You know, and that's another thing. See, when God tells you to do something, don't try to figure out the results before it happens. Let God, that's in God's hands. That's not in your hands. And basically, that went on for a couple of Sundays in a row. And I went to church that Sunday night after a couple of Sundays when I was feeling real strong to do this. But I didn't really know how to navigate things yet. So basically, I'm sitting there and I prayed before I got there and I said, Lord, if this is really you giving me that word, then let that person come to church tonight. And I went into church and I sat down and I looked around and I thought, whew, not here. I felt this big relief. I mean, I'm going, whew. I mean, that's the reason what it was.
How do I have to open my mouth?
I'm sitting there for a few minutes. I hear a noise behind me and they're sitting exactly dead behind me. Right behind me. I mean, all I had to do was turn around and give them that word that the Lord was giving me. And I wasn't obedient. I didn't do it. I went out of church, man. I was so beat up for a week or two after that, because I was learning. You know, I hadn't learned how to navigate things in the Lord yet. You know, and it's hard sometimes to give somebody a word, especially if it's a word that you feel is a very directive word. You know, sometimes and I felt like that was what this one was. Mm-hmm. You know, that God was going to do something really, really miraculous. And I was real young in the Lord, you know, but you learn by your mistakes is really what happens. And God, sometimes I think he winks at you in the sense that, you know, he knows whether or not that you're going to really do what he's called you to do at that point. He knows whether you're going to do it or not. But I had a lot of condemnation on myself for a long time over that, you know.
Sometimes he doesn't give you the whole, when you open your mouth and you start.
That's right.
And as you start speaking, then he'll give you all of it. Sometimes
that's right.
He doesn't give you the entire. He'll give you just a couple words.
Right.
And then you feel the anointing and you feel you need to speak. And then as you start speaking, then he gives you the rest.
The Lord does that with me a lot of times. I mean, different people, he does different things different ways when he's dealing with people. Some people they'll see pictures. You know, they'll literally see pictures of things. Mm-hmm. And some people, it's just however God deals with you. You know, I don't see pictures of anybody or anything like that, but I just feel very drawn that I'm supposed to go and give that person a word. And I, a lot of times I don't know what the word is until I start praying for them. You know, when Roy Ralph and his wife was here about two times ago, I guess it was, you know, I felt like the Lord wanted me to give them a word, a prophetic word. And I told him, I said, brother, I said, I feel like the Lord wants me to give you a word, and I did. And basically, I still pretty much remember what the word was, but it was that he was going to begin to send him forth, and he was going to begin to send him out, and it was basically, put your sandals on because you're going to be gone, you know, kind of thing. And you know, I had some of the other brothers, and some of the other brothers gave word too. Well, we weren't recording the prophetic words back then. And Jim called me up during the week, and he says, Oscar, he says, Roy Ralph and his wife want to know if you can tell them that prophecy. And I said, oh, man, I said, I don't know. I said, when the Lord gives me a prophetic word for somebody, after I give it to them, I put it out of my mind. I put it out of my mind because I don't want to be trying to figure out what it was, what it meant, nothing like that. That's between them and God. And I said, you know, I try to just totally put it out of my mind. I said, but I'll pray about it. And I said, I'll see if the Lord will bring it back to me.
He gave it to you, didn't he?
He did. And I wrote it out. I wrote it out, and we sent it to him. And then Roy Ralph said he had gotten that same word three other times. Three places he had been, God had given him that same word. Or two other places. I think I was the third one. But anyway, it was a confirmation as to what God, you know, God was doing.
And you can't look at people's responses of whether they're receiving it or not.
No.
Because God gave me a word for an individual. Buddy was there and gave the word. And I don't know. I didn't know whether they completely received it or what, but I knew God gave it to me and gave me exactly what and did. 2 weeks later, they come back to me and wanted to know that word. I didn't remember the word. I had to think, because God gave it to me before I even came into the presence of this person. I'd given it earlier that morning. And I prayed about it because he wanted them to have this word. And he brought it back, word for word. And I wrote it down and wrote the date. I remember, you know, wrote the date and all that and gave it to them.
See, that depends.
That they ever did what he... I don't believe that when we give it, and even though they have not done, that the word's not gone. I believe that God will bring, for this person, because I've been praying for this person, to come into this place and to do what God is wanting.
Well, see, the thing about it is anytime God gives a prophetic word, it's in his time.
Yeah.
His time is not all for that word to come to pass. It's not always right then. You know, like the word that the Lord had me give to brother Roy and his wife. Mm-hmm. You know, and you know that I felt I was supposed to give him. That didn't happen for about 2 years after that. Mm-hmm. And then now that church is gone. And that's what Roy does all the time. He's out there. Doing, you know, that's what he does. He travels around all the time, you know, and ministers to people. And he goes to Europe and ministers over there, and you know, over and that kind of stuff. And but the thing about it is that's where you don't need to try to figure out what God gave you when he gave you something. You just need to be obedient and give it and leave it in the hands of the Lord, you know, because he knows what it's all about. And sometimes that person is not going to be obedient to whatever God said. And then that's on them. That's not on you. That's on them. That's on them. That's not on you. You know, if you give them the word. And, you know, but it's you know, it's a different thing, you know.
Hey, years ago, they would say, we went to camp. And Brother Jay was there with us.
Mm-hmm.
And the Lord gave me a word for the speaker. Mm-hmm. And I told Jay, I said, I need you to go up and witness what the Lord told me to tell him. He said, okay. So we went up, and I'm not going to mention his name. But the Lord told me.
told me to tell you, put up your guitar and get into the work. Well, he patted me on the head like I was a little kid. By the way, Josh was born the next week. Like I was a little kid, I said, okay. So I went back, sit down. He started playing his guitar, and three strings broke. Anyway, so he put it down. He kind of gave me a look, and Jay was just cracking up. He said, you know what? He thinks he's dealing with just a kid or a man. He said, if this is true and it's the word of God, he's dealing with God.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes, you know, God will prove himself to you. So the next day he gets up to speak and proclaims from the pulpit, well, what happened last night is not going to happen today because I put five new strings on this five-string guitar. He trums at one time and all five of them break. And then he put that down. He no longer looked at me. He put that down and got into the Word. And when he got into the Word, the Holy Spirit moved. But I tell you this, I believe the Holy Spirit was moving what caused him to get into the Word.
Yeah.
Now, I mean, there's a reason, you know, and it's nothing underhidden. God knows exactly what's going to happen.
Right.
But I tell you what, we're in the wrong place if we're going against God. That's not, figure that out. I mean, he wasn't saying nothing about me. He was going against what God said. So I wasn't surprised that his strength broke.
Well, you know, that's the thing. You know, we just need to be obedient whenever God speaks to our heart about doing anything.
Yes.
Whatever it is, and be obedient and do it. And leave the results in God's hands, because it's not for you to make the results happen. You know, it's for you to just be obedient and do whatever God tells you to do when He tells you to do it. I used to absolutely hate when somebody would say, and I've heard older brothers say this in the Lord different times. You know, I felt like I had a word for that person, but it wasn't the right time. And I thought, wait a minute. If God gave you a word for that person, it was the right time. You needed to give them that word then. You know,
rest of him.
Not say, well, I'm going to wait weeks later, you know, or whatever.
You're right.
You know, I will tell you, any of y'all, when God tells you to do something, do it. If He's telling you to do something right now, If it's a future thing, he won't tell you to, or he'll let you know it's supposed to be a future thing. You won't be telling somebody, you know, it wasn't the right time.
I've got something to tell you, but I can't tell you for a couple of weeks.
Yeah, right. Right.
Yeah.
Right.
How about this? So
that's a goal.
We've seen it.
The wheels in motion.
Somebody was supposed to give somebody a word, chose not to. And the person that they were supposed to give the word to, God took home. Mm-hmm. And then they wanted to be forgiven like it was okay. I go, come on.
It's not okay, but He'll forgive you because I have.
Oh yeah.
He puts on your heart, I can tell you. And I said, I'm never going to, Lord, I know I was supposed to see them, but I didn't know what I was supposed to say. And all this, and He said, don't worry about what to say, just go there. And I didn't. And the next thing I heard, they had passed.
Well, how many times have you sat in a class or something and felt like you were supposed to say something, and then you don't say it, and then later on you find out that that person will either say almost the same thing that you were going to say, which out of the mouth of two or three witnesses,
Amen.
Let every word
That's
be established.
Right.
That's one reason why when I sit in Sunday school in there, I try not to say a lot. I try to sit back unless I really feel like I'm really supposed to say something, because I want to hear from other people. Because, you know, I had a bunch of young people come back one time from a church camp, and they were kind of really getting on fire for the Lord. And I was the only elder that showed up to their meeting. And they invited everybody to come to that meeting. None of the rest of them came. I was, you know, and Clyde at that point wasn't an elder. He hadn't been named as an elder. And
I was among them.
You was there, yeah. Mm-hmm. He was among them. And anyway, I was the only elder that showed up for that. So they're on fire. And it was Jewel. She got up and she said something. She said, well, Oscar, why aren't you teaching children's church and this and that and something else, because I had done that for years. I said, because if I do it, you won't.
Amen. That's right. Mm-hmm.
I said, that's why I don't do it.
Yeah, you talked, you had Tobias.
I told her, I said, if I do it, you won't. Mm-hmm. And she says, huh.
That's right.
And the funny thing is that right after that, I got home and I got a call from one of the elders. And this is the old elders. This isn't nobody that's there now. This is one of the old elders. And he said to me, Oscar, did you go to the meeting the young people had? I said, yeah, I was there. He said, well, I heard they were trying to take over the church. And I just, I kind of stepped back inside, you know, and I said, well, let me tell you exactly what I heard. I said, I heard the answer to all of the prayers that I heard you guys praying in the prayer meetings about God, get a hold of my children. God, set a fire in my children. God, bring my children forth, you know. And I said, that's exactly what God's doing. I said, he was answering your prayers. And you know what he said? Well, I'll talk to you later.
Didn't want to hear that. He didn't want to hear that.
But, you know.
Praise the Lord.
Oh, Lord. Some of the stuff you go through. And,
yes.
And, you know, you have to realize that don't set anybody up on a pedestal. I don't care if they're elders or not elders, what their ministers, who they are. Don't set them up on a pedestal, because God will knock them off that pedestal for you if you do. And you don't need to do that. And keep your eyes on the Lord and just trust him. I guess we should probably close.
Yes.
Close in a word of prayer for us, Brenda.
Father, we just thank you for this time together, for the fellowship, for sharing you, O God. We just desire for you to be glorified in our lives, through our lives, and to all that we come in contact with, Father. Father, may we look to you and know you, Father, for ourselves, and be a blessing. Everyone we meet, where we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah, I was thinking,
praise the Lord.
That
was good.
Make sure we have
people. We can do that.
I'm just going to push them up against here.
That's fine. Yeah.
Where's this one go? Back here?
That one. Yeah. Yeah. Turn it.